You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
All right, day off for the Buffalo Bills out at St. John Fisher University, but not here for me on the Extra Point Show. Here with you today, 803-0550, Sal Capaccio with you. And taking your phone calls on whatever you'd like to talk about on the Buffalo Bills through the first week of camp. Because it has been a week. They opened up a week ago today out at St. John Fisher University. And, of course, the big news, the big story, and the big waiting game is on cornerback Maxwell Hairston. And we still have nothing on Hairston, unless something's come over here, Josh, in the last, you know, 5-10 minutes since I've been bumping around here ready for the show. I haven't seen anything, right? So nothing on Maxwell Hairston for the Buffalo Bills yet. And we wonder and we wait. So what happened was, yesterday, Max Hairston was working with defenders off on the side field. And he went down with an apparent non-contact injury. We know that after both Dane Jackson and Taron Johnson spoke to the media after practice. But it was on the side field, and really there were no media watching at the time or filming him going through his drill. But after it happened, there's video from several different media members, Dan Fates out in Rochester, Carl Jones here in Buffalo, John Scott here in Buffalo, and others, of Max Hairston sitting, being looked at, talking to, with trainers, and getting tested. It looked like they were testing his knee. And you could interpret that. Are they testing for an ACL, an MCL, all of those things that go into it, right? That's what it appeared to be. As he was being tested, he laid back down. He was on his back, full length, put his hands up to his head, kind of, you know, being upset. Sat back up, talked to trainers, got up. Teammates surrounded him, hugged him, talked to him. He walked off the field with a trainer, Nate Bresky, the head athletic trainer of the Bills. We say on his under his own power. He did walk. He wasn't carted, which is, I think, at least noteworthy. But he also had quite a bit of assistance from Nate Bresky, and I think that's noteworthy. So we can interpret all of that however we want, whatever video you want to watch, and however that comes into play. So that being said, as we waited last night for any leak of information, news, reporting from anyone on the situation, late last night, we get an Instagram post from Max Hairston. His Instagram post had a picture of him signing a football. And he wrote in the caption, quote, "Beyond blessed, thank you, God," with prayer hands in between "beyond blessed" and "thank you, God." This is something I've said many times before, which is I try not to read into too much of what players write on social media. We live in a day and age where anything can get interpreted in a number of different ways. How many times have you seen a player tweet something that has that people think and run with has something to do with their teammate, their situation in football, the fans, whatever? And it's really not about that at all. It might be something about their personal life. It might be something about, oh, you really lied to me. That's all they write, right? Like some guy's like, ah, nice to be lied to. And like, oh my God, what's the team doing? Oh, maybe that was just about like something with the fight with their girlfriend or something. Who knows? Those things happen. So in this situation, I would think it would have to at least deal with his injury, right? But I think you can also take this a couple of different ways. I think A, you can look at it as encouraging. And Maxwell Hairston
saying, beyond blessed, thank you, God, meaning I escaped serious injury. That would be great. I think you could also take it to mean something of a far more serious situation, which is an injury, which is maybe him still putting his faith in God, even though he is seriously injured. I think you could go either way. So that's why I don't want to make an assumption here. It is our job to report it because he wrote it and it has to do with it, I'm sure. But we'll see. We'll see where it goes. Not a great situation for the Buffalo Bills if they do lose their first round rookie corner, as Joe and Jeremy and Howard actually were talking about this morning, and I agree. I think Howard was the one that said, because Tre'Davious White's been starting, yes, you would lose your first round corner, but you're not losing a starting corner. And that's a way to look at it, there's no doubt. And it is also a way to at least get us to Tre'Davious White and how he's looking, which I want to do here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show today, because I wrote about him yesterday. I thought he was the best player on the field. In the meantime, we can get connected with you, our fans, and of course, getting connected is brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. The Bills have what I think is pretty good depth at their corner spot, but that's having some faith in maybe the rookie Dorian Strong. Where if you look at their corner spot right now, and we're talking outside boundary corner, Taron Johnson's obviously a nickel. Christian Benford, and then Tre'Davious White and Max Harrison on the other side. Beyond that, if they don't have Max Harrison, Jamarcus Ingram is still on this roster. Dane Jackson is on this roster. Dorian Strong was drafted and should be on this, is on this roster. I think actually Dorian Strong probably has a better chance to be on the roster maybe than Dane Jackson, simply because there's a draft pick and he's subject to waivers because he's a young player, and if they were to release him at the end of camp, he could be get claimed by any team. That wouldn't be the case with Dane Jackson. You could release Dane Jackson and still sign him to the practice squad as a break glass in case of emergency veteran, which to me still trends that way looking at how this fits. You still have Daquan Hardy, Tecorey Couch, and Daryl Porter Jr., who I don't put in the same bucket as any of these guys I'm talking about. Jordan Hancock is pretty much the backup nickel corner and a safety, like a Cam Lewis. So what you really have at the end of the day is Benford, Harrison, White, Ingram, Strong, Jackson. I count six boundary corners. And I think that's a good number to have, but you're not keeping six boundary corners on your roster. If you lose Max Harrison, you're down to five boundary corners. And it's still probably you're not keeping five. You could because of special teams, but you still have to have faith in that depth. And what that depth would be, again, is what is Dorian Strong right now? What is Dane Jackson at this point? After leaving the organization, coming back, he had an injury thing last year as well. And then there's Tre'Davious White. And a lot of this just hinges on Tre'Davious White. Suddenly, Tre'Davious White might become the most important Buffalo Bill outside of Josh Allen. Because maybe how he is, how he performs, where he is at this point of his career, where he is with his injuries, that the answer to that question might really make everything at corner hinge on the answer to that question, I should say. I really like what I've seen from Tre'Davious White. That doesn't mean that he's going to go into week one against the Baltimore Ravens and be a shutdown guy on, you know, pick your receiver for them. I think they do have DeAndre Hopkins now. They, by the way, they're in the news too with some injuries and a very significant injury for them that we'll get to. Zay Flowers, right? More of a slot guy, but you get the point. Tre'Davious White, week one is most likely the starter anyway, and I think this kind of ramps that up even if unless Max Harrison misses like no time, I think any sort of loss for like a week or so missing preseason time is significant to his development and chances to start week one. If he's out long term, then of course it looks like it's Tre'Davious White's job, and it currently is. Yesterday, as I just said, Tre'Davious White was to me the best player on the field, at least from what I saw in both one-on-ones and then translating to 11-on-11. In one-on-ones, they go goal line, one-on-one. back of the end zone. He's draped all over Joshua Palmer. Does a nice job to make sure that he's kind of in his hip pocket wherever he goes. At that point, Josh Allen's going to try to fit it in, but he doesn't have to because, I mean, if you're in a regular season game, you're in a situation, it's probably going to throw it away, but he's going to fit it in this situation just because you're working the drill. He does. I think it's a ball maybe Josh doesn't throw normally, but he does throw it to try and fit it in this drill, and Tre'Davious White gets his head around, perfect position, picks it off. Defense goes nuts. Jamil Adai, his corners coach, you could see, DB coach, he's going crazy. Joe Dana, his teammates, it was great. It's really great to see. A little bit later, he's matched up against Keon Coleman. Keon gets to the goal line, works in, works out, tries to get away. Trey is right on him. Doesn't give him any breathing room. Has his hands on him. Keon's trying to get physical. Trey's right there. Again, maybe a ball Josh Allen doesn't throw in this situation to this particular spot. He does, and Trey's right there to kind of just, you know, he's got his left arm a little bit behind him. He bruises his right arm, and he bats it down. Then, in 11-on-11, as Joshua Palmer again is going down the left sideline, Tre'Davious White is in a basically like a trail coverage. He's one-on-one. I think it's probably a zone. There's a guy coming over the top, but Trey's there. It's a spot where, okay, he's there. He's not in the perfect position, but he's in good position. But the ball was perfectly placed for Joshua Palmer. And all he has to do is just let it come down to him. Josh Allen on the throw. But you know what Trey did? I mean, he used his length and his instincts to time it perfectly. And that's when I saw that play right in front of me, basically, as it's coming down the sidelines. That was the play where I said, that's the old Trey White. It's one thing in the one-on-ones and you know, this is your one guy, you're sticking with him, you're doing this drill. This was 11-on-11. That guy's got the ball coming down to him on the sidelines and he timed it perfectly. He used his length, he batted it away. And from there, they go nuts again on the sidelines. It was great to see. I like the camp Tre'Davious White is putting together. But it's got to translate into week one and beyond for the Buffalo Bills against the Baltimore Ravens. Speaking of the Baltimore Ravens, they are dealing with a significant injury, which I would say at this point looks like they will not have Isaiah Likely week one. It is possible, but it is a small foot fracture, according to Jeremy Fowler. If all goes well, quote, it's an early season return and week one is possible from Jeremy Fowler. I would say in this situation, 4 to 6 weeks at least. Some are saying 5 to 7. That's fine. Okay, let's just say it's 5 weeks then. I mean, the season starts. How many weeks from now? Well, I mean, we've got the Hall of Fame game coming up. Let's just do a little math here. All right? Let's just say he comes back in 5 weeks from now. That would put you at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That would put him coming back the week of the first game, practicing the first game. It is possible. Does he miss all that time and just show up week one and put him on the field? I think he's either lost or not playing or very, very minimal being able to do. I mean, all these teams are going to play the long game with these guys, right? You'd think a team like the Ravens would, who's they think they're going to be a, you know, Super Bowl contender. So I think the Ravens at this point look like they may be without Isaiah Likely. And let's look at the Ravens real quick. I want to just check something out on them because let's see what we got. Isaiah Likely is a very important player for them. Even though they do have Mark Andrews, we know, and Mark Andrews is a good player, and he's going to be targeted a lot. And remember, Mark Andrews had a couple costly plays against the Bills in that AFC Championship game. He's getting a little older. He's had some, you know, injuries himself over the last couple of years. But Isaiah Likely is a big part of what they do. And I think even more so because their receivers, they're good. They're not blow you out of the water great. Rashad Bateman, Zay Flowers, DeAndre Hopkins now is there. Tylan Wallace. And then you really have a bunch of guys. Okay, what can they do? Anthony Miller, Devontae Walker. So, yeah, I just think that's a especially the kind of offense that Greg Roman, the kind of offense the Ravens want to run. Roman used to be there. With their tight ends, how heavily involved, what they do, what they mean. I think that's a significant change, a significant loss for them, if indeed they are without Isaiah Likely, which I think they probably will be without Isaiah Likely as we sit here today. Will the Bills be without Maxwell Hairston? We don't know. Nothing on Maxwell Hairston right now. Anything you want to talk about is on the table when it comes to the Buffalo Bills, when it comes to training camp, and what am I getting here? Okay, here at camp, I'm reading. This is from. This is not on Maxwell Hairston. Just a little around the camp stuff. Every day you hear, see a little stuff. For the Chiefs today, Pete Sweeney reporting no Hollywood Brown, Xavier Worthy, or Sky Moore. I mean, you talk about the Bills having these injuries. Everybody's dealing with them, and the Bills are definitely dealing with quite a bit of injuries. Too many, right? Everybody is right now. It's not just your team. You have to have a perspective around the league about what's going on. And when you are dealing with injuries, sometimes you just make sure, back off, and play the long game, like I said. And I think that's exactly what the Bills are basically doing here with several of their players. 803-0550 is the number to call. 803-0550 here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you. We do have some player sound I want to get to today. Now, we heard from Taron Johnson right after some of the media did after practice yesterday. Got some sound saying that it was a non-contact injury and, you know, about Max Hairston. But overall, Taron Johnson also spoke a couple days ago after practice just about camp, about the point of where he is in his career right now, Taron Johnson. So we'd like to play that for you. Taron Johnson meeting with the media at the podium prior to practice a couple of days ago. We'll get you a couple player sounds today. And then at 11 a.m. today, going to hear from Thad Brown out in Rochester. My guy Thad, who I always think when Thad's on, he sounds like Adam Schefter. It's going to sound like Adam Schefter's talking to him. I think Thad sounds like Adam Schefter. I want you to judge, Josh, when he's on the air later, okay? But it is Thad. It's not Adam. Thad from WROC News 8 in Rochester, of course, part of Bills Kickoff Live as well. I'll be on that show on Friday when it comes to the return of the blue and the red Friday here at Orchard Park for the open practice. We'll get to Taron Johnson. We'll have more player sound a little bit later. Thad Brown at 11. Here is the Buffalo Bills starting veteran nickel cornerback.
Pads, having them on, and how did it feel just to be back in pads?
I felt good. This whole time, I feel like we've been playing like flag football a little bit, and it's time to get to the real thing, you know what I'm saying? So just having pads on, being physical, making some contact, it feels good. That's a big part of my game.
How do you toe the line when we see guys like KJ and Christian going at it a little bit?
Yeah.
Like, how do you toe that line and make sure you're doing it the right way, getting the competition in, but also, you know, you're competing?
Yeah. I say get as close to the line as possible. You know, I feel like iron sharpens iron. You know what I'm saying? So if you got both guys competing at a very high level, there's no place but to get better in it. You know what I'm saying? So that's the environment we have. And when we continue that environment, it makes us better.
And Sean talked about this morning, you know, wanting, what did he want to see out of it? He said, he used the term nasty, physical, girls' method. So was that a message you heard as players beforehand as he's
Yeah.
What does it mean to you?
I mean, that's the identity you want in a defense. You want guys who are there to toe the line. I mean, you don't want to get disrespectful, but if you got guys that are close to that point, that helps. You know what I'm saying? And it's a mindset to be physical and kind of have like this fearless mindset that I have and that I want the whole defense to have.
Matt Milano had a couple strong tackles.
Mm-hmm.
Running across, he looks quick, fast, mm-hmm. physical. You know, at the top point. Just what have you noticed from his campus so far?
That he is who he is. You know what I'm saying? It's not a surprise to me. It's something I've seen for 9 years. You know what I'm saying? So just him being that same guy that he's always been is helpful for us.
Speaking as someone you've seen for a long time for Davis, where does he appear to you on the football field compared to maybe where you saw him maybe before injuries?
No, he's ready. You know what I'm saying? That's all I can say. His quickness is there. His speed is there. He knows the game well. He's not making mental errors. He's ready to play. And that's something that I'm happy to see. He's one of my best friends. So just seeing that is huge.
Bobby said he's on a mission. Do you see that even from the personality and the swagger part on the field?
Oh, for sure. I mean, people think whatever they think about him, you know what I'm saying? But he's out to not only prove people wrong, but prove to himself that he's the player that he has been in this league.
Terry, you're getting ready for year number eight. Is it kind of hard to believe that you're already at this point in your career?
Yeah, it is. It is. It's just really a blessing. You know what I'm saying? Being with the Bills for so long, I couldn't. Before I was in the NFL, I couldn't see it any other way. You know what I'm saying? So it's been a crazy blessing, and I just want to take full advantage of it.
You do things differently this far into your career than maybe you didn't need to do when you were a little bit younger, maybe for second year?
For sure. I mean, but I've added things over the time, and it's just each year I add a little bit here and a little bit there, whatever I can do to get a little bit better. I feel like putting myself in uncomfortable positions is huge for me. Maybe things that I might not see that often in the game, or just things where I might not like where I'm at, you know? And I feel like that'll put me in the best positions when I'm in the game to make those plays. And whatever I can, my main thing is getting the ball. So whatever, however I can get the ball, however I can force turnovers, that's the goal.
How often during 7-on-7 one-on-one do you experiment with your fundamental techniques? Hey, I'm going to need this against.
I try to do different techniques here and there, just because it's not Sundays. You know what I'm saying? And this is the times where you want to get better and try things and. I feel like that I can bring into the game and get confident from doing it in practice and then bring it to the game.
Yeah, but Terry, you know this team added obviously a lot of size to the D-line through moves in the offseason. How noticeable is that to you, and what else do you, when you're out there, what are you seeing with all these bigger guys?
I mean, I see guys trying to make plays. I mean, it's still early. Like, we just got him passed today. So I just want to see the continuous improvement from our whole defense. You know what I'm saying? We're not where we want to be right now, but still early. And I feel like I'm going to see a lot more in the future.
What do you see from Jordan Hancock? I know he plays a little safety, but sometimes nickel.
Yeah. I mean, I see his physicality. I see that he's flying around. I mean, he kind of looks like a younger version of me a little bit to me. So just having that on our team is going to be extremely helpful with his young.
This is maybe, in my eyes, maybe the most competitive DB room you've had since you've been here.
Yeah.
What's that like in that room with everyone, the new guys, the guys you brought back, Dane?
Yeah. It's very competitive. You know what I'm saying? It's only going to make us better. You know, it's going to sharpen guys, the corners, the nickels, the safeties. I feel like we're all just going to be sharpened, and it's going to push guys to be their full potential.
Have you noticed about the way that Cole and Taylor are working together behind
him? They're great. They're great with their communication especially, and you could see how far he's come just within an off season, and how well he knows the defense and how fast he's playing.
Taryn, a lot of new faces on this defense. What's the vibe that you're getting from the group as a whole this year?
Oh, man, that we're going to be really good. But at the same time, we got to double down on the details. If we double down on the details and play with good fundamentals and with that swag and that nasty mentality, I feel like we're going to be going in the right direction.
Who's bringing that swag on the defense?
Who I can think of right now, probably Christian Benford. I think he is the best corner in the NFL. So that's just my opinion.
Darren, going back to Cole, just as a veteran yourself, what do you have to see from a young guy like that shows – you know, the trust that you can have in that guy, knowing how important the safety position is.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's very important. Like, you got to be able to talk. And if I can't hear you back there, I got a problem with it. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just making sure that he's giving me the call, and he does a great job with it. I don't really got to talk to him much. And he's ahead of it before I am. And that's what I want in the safety.
That is Buffalo Bills starting nickel cornerback Taryn Johnson. He met with the media after practice a couple of days ago. So did Greg Rousseau. We have more sound to get to you. And also Thad Brown coming your way right here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. That is at 11 a.m. We'll get the latest from him, his thoughts on Max Harrison's injury, what that means for the Buffalo Bills, and everything else going on at training camp in Rochester. So stick with me today. Sal Capaccio here. Good to be with you on a Wednesday on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR. All right, back here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, we were talking about, you know, the Bills' injuries and Max Harrison, obviously, and not knowing his situation. I mentioned Isaiah Likely, who most likely, no pun intended, will be at least at the very least questionable to play week one, I would say, against the Buffalo Bills due to a foot fracture for the Baltimore Ravens. Then you have Kader Kohou, who's out for the Miami Dolphins. Kader Kohou is a very important piece of the Miami Dolphins roster. Let me just see. He should be listed on their depth chart as one of their starting corners. I want to take a look at their entire depth chart. Go over here. Let's see. Here's Miami Dolphins and Kader Kohou. Did they already take him out of there? They might have already taken him out of there on these the roster I'm looking at. But anyway, you think about these. Boy, left Storm Duck is listed as a Miami Dolphins starting corner. Storm Duck, yes. Who else here? There he is. Kader Kohou, nickel, starting nickel. That's what it is. Starting nickel for Kader Kohou. Isn't Kader Kohou, Josh, the guy that Stephon Diggs completely turned into a top twisted?
Yeah, what I mean? It's kind of funny when you brought up he's a big piece of their defense, but right. 2 years ago he was getting cooked by Stephon Diggs.
And that's what I said. I'm driving literally with my son this morning, Max, and we're talking about this and we're listening to you guys. And he goes, well, is Kader Kohou that good? And I go, do you remember when Stephon Diggs just cooked him? I'm like, so we could say he's good, but like the Bills have taken advantage of him.
He wasn't bad last year. Right. I remember him having a few really good plays actually in the Bills-Dolphins game
yes.
at Highmark Stadium last year. And that was, so he's gotten better for sure. Like he's definitely a key piece to their defense. But like I just, you know, my lasting memory of him will be when Diggs just kind of made him look silly and spun off of him.
I mean, here's the Patriots. Check out their list today. Who's not practicing? Christian Gonzalez, Carlton Davis, Garrett Bradbury, Harold Landry, Javonte Tavai, Yasir Durant, Joshua Farmer, Travion Williams, Demir Blackmoose, and Mac Hollins is still on PUP. I mean, everybody's dealing with this stuff right now, right?
Joshua Farmer in there too. That's another, you know, important draft pick for them.
Travion probably. Williams, I mean, is in there, right? I mean, yep. Like these are interesting guys that could wind up having, you know, it roles for these teams. So anyway. One of the things I wanted to bring up was, and this is the difference between the Bills and a lot of teams in the league, okay? We could talk about high-end stars, and yes, you want them. Depth matters, and development matters. And I really, really like what Joe Shad, I know you're not the biggest fan out there, maybe a Joe Shad, a lot of you, journalist for the Palm Beach Post, previously at ESPN, he wrote, you know, he said, the Miami Dolphins do not get the excuse of injury in 2025. Did you build a roster with necessary depth? Did you make the right decisions on second and third team roster decisions? Those matter, folks. That's what I talk about, depth. You have to have depth. It's not just the high-end players, the all-pros. Everybody wants that. But you really do. When they say next man up, the next man up might not be as good, but you need to have somebody who can do their job, know their job, and be able to get you through what you need to get through. And I'm reading Joe Shad, I'm like, that's right. And that's been a difference with the Bills. With them and most teams in the league. All right, Greg Rousseau spoke with the media as well a couple of days ago. Here is the Buffalo Bills starting defensive end.
Greg, first day pads, kind of maybe a truer test of what linemen get to do. Mm-hmm. Get involved in it. How did it all feel from that standpoint?
It was fun. You know what I'm saying? It's good to have the pads on. Having pads on makes it more realistic because that's how the game is on Sundays. So, I mean, it's always good to get in the pads, especially for us. Up front.
And Sean mentioned this morning about like what he was looking for with pads on for the first time in camp. Used the words, I want to see a nastiness, I want to see physical type of play. It was like he was driving a message maybe publicly to what you guys might be hearing internally. Is that what he's speaking to you?
Yeah, that's consistent with what we hear. And, you know, like having that edge goes a long way in the league. You know what I'm saying? You could really discourage a team by the way you play, the way you run the ball, the way you stop the run. It helps you win week in and week out. So, I mean, that's what we're here for, trying to build that identity and that toughness and that nastiness, like you said, and just that attitude of, like, whatever's in front of us is just in the way.
Does it feel like it's getting, I mean, I know we're early in camp, but what does it feel like? You've got new people involved in this, in your group. What's your sense of how it's...
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I can only speak for really D-line because that's what I practice with. Everybody's urgent. Everybody's, you know what I'm saying, trying their best. Everybody's trying to play as physical as they can. And we know that's the standard. That's what's required of us. So that's what we got to do.
How do you guys kind of help those young guys and rookies along?
I mean, just with our play, you know what I'm saying? I know, like, personally, I'm not the biggest, like, rah-rah guy, but it's like you go out there, you do it right to the best of your ability, and you have the right attitude about it. You play with juice, energy, everything that Coach Babbage talks about, and, I mean, that's just our mindset, and the young guys kind of just follow along with that as they see it happening right in front of them.
Greg, after not being able to see a lot of those games,
I mean, he's a dog. He's everything I've seen watching him, like when he was on the Chargers, you know. So it's fun to be out there with a guy like that. It's a blessing. He's also just a really cool dude. Off the field, we have conversations about random stuff every day. It's consistent, you know what I'm saying? The way he just comes to work, has a good attitude. Obviously his experience, you know. So I mean, we're real happy to have him.
Probably not a lot of times during your career when you've had guys that come with you, see
Yeah.
The guys they draft, yeah. Are
some big guys, yeah.
Yeah. How about that size? How does that help a defensive line?
It helps for sure, you know, being able to stand firm at the point of attack and also get your hands up, tips and passes. You can make a lot of plays like that, cause a lot of turnovers. So, I mean, it's great. I think it'll help us out.
Do you, a lot of was said after the Super Bowl of how the Eagles reminded, this game's always been about when those battles up front, but the Eagles gave a firm reminder how important that could be and how that game went and how physical they were. Any of that register with you as just as a reminder example of what upfront play means in being down?
I mean, everything that I believe in, whatever I think, it all comes from Coach McDermott, Coach Babbage, the D-line coaches we got. So whatever they're telling us to do, whether it's this, that, or the third, is kind of just where I get it from. I don't really look to any other team or any other example of anything, but I know there's a right way to do it. And we know we just got to do that, just keep on doing that more often and more often to get to where we want to go. And we just got to keep getting better.
Greg, you were really productive last year. What is taking the next step into you?
I feel like every year you got to take a step. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like no matter how good you do, it's going to always be like, all right, take that next step, like get better. There's always a lot of things to work on because no player is perfect. You know what I mean? So, I mean, for me, it's every part of my game. It's the run game. It's pass rushing. It's me being just locked into my assignment. It's my pad level, my hand placement, this, that, and the third. It's kind of everything and just keep on getting better at everything. Plays hard, you know what I'm saying? He's a young guy, like y'all said, but, you know, he's picking it up quick. All the young guys are really doing a good job, you know, Landon, Hayden, Dion, TJ, they're all doing a good job, you know what I'm saying? They're all very observant, you know what I'm saying, and just kind of soaking things up, and they got the right mindset, for sure.
Great, with all these young guys, a guy like Jaquan Jones, love your vet, how have you seen his approach to helping those young guys?
Just leading by example, you know, like there's a right way to do things and there's a not so right way to do things. So him just showing them, like this is how you do it. If he's going up first in a drill, him just being locked in and him doing his job and showing somebody else how to do their job as well. And I'm sure he shares little tidbits on the side with them. You know, I'm not in all the conversations because they play D tackle and I play D. And so more so I'm talking to like Landon and Javon Solomon and those younger guys and stuff.
What is Coach Babbage bringing to the table in
the
second year as defensive
player? Juice, energy, you know, and really just the standard that we have to uphold every day. I know he pushes me personally, he pushes all the guys, you know what I'm saying? We're never satisfied, whether it's a bad practice or good practice, like ups and downs. He's like, he's always on us. He's always trying to get the most out of us. And it's all coming from a good place, all coming from him wanting to see us reach our goals, win a Super Bowl, this, that, and the third, whatever it is, he's trying to get us to all the way up here to the pinnacle of where we could be at. So, I mean, he pushes us super hard, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, we're blessed to have him, and it only makes us better.
What's your advice in your conversations like with some of these rookies who are trying to make a roster spot as a practice squad, and every rep really counts?
Yeah, I'd say really just, I tell them just locking on the details, you know, like, don't get too ahead of yourself, you know, focus one rep at a time. If you're in meetings right now, make sure you got your pen out and you're writing. If you're in the weight room, make sure you're getting full extension on that press. And when you're at the field, make sure you're taking every single rep seriously. You're locked into your assignment. You're locked into the possible adjustments based off formation. Just little things, making sure that you kind of cross all your T's and dot all your I's. And you're just taking it one step at a time. Because if you get too ahead of yourself in this league, it's very overwhelming. You're thinking about roster customer, you think about this, that, and the third, is a lot for you. So really just kind of breaking it down to the smallest the smallest things.
And Greg, you came into this league as a very young rookie, limited experience at the collegiate level for those different circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
You feel like you've grown the growth that you've experienced. Can you walk through like what that's been like? And I'm sure it plays into your advice for these.
Yeah. I mean, when it comes to that, it's like my first year is a lot. You're drinking out of a fire hose. You know what I'm saying? But I mean, I also had good guys around me like Ed, who kind of helped me out and stuff. And Daquan, my second year, he came in, and Vaughn. But I mean, they all kind of had the same message. Like, just take it one day at a time. You know what I'm saying? Focus on picking something to get better at. If not everything, but focusing on this and kind of just being locked into the little details. And then year by year, the more reps you get under your belt, the more Sundays you play football, the more times you see this play, you see that formation, you see this pass set, you see that run block, you see this hinge block, whatever it is, you're going to just keep on getting better at it with practice. It's like kind of like anything you do. Like, the more you ride a bike or a scooter, you get better at doing it from just doing it over and over again.
How would you describe Ryan Nielsen's
approach? He's real locked in. Like, he's locked into the details, like the smallest things, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's on us for sure. But I mean, he's a great coach. He also wants the best out of us, and he expects a lot, so he pushes us day in and day out. But like, his individual period is very detailed to the smallest things, like your hand shouldn't be like this, it should be like this. So just little things like that, and that's only going to make us better coming this fall.
You laugh a little bit there when he flips the hat around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's locked in. Yeah, like, yeah, he's in a different mode. Yeah, if you're talking, he's going to be like, chill out, you know what I'm saying? So I mean, he got me a couple times yesterday, so yeah, but he's a good dude, you know what I'm saying? He's pushing us, and he just wants the best out of us. So, I mean, I got nothing but respect for him.
Greg, you mentioned Javon. What are the challenges at conference that's taken that leap into year two? But then also, how have you seen him come in with the right approach?
I mean, man, like, his attitude day in and day out, it's positive. He's always ready to work, you know what I'm saying? He's never moping around. So, I mean, a lot of times I'm feeding off of a guy like Javon. And then the way he can rush, the way he can bend the corner, he had a couple sacks last year off limited reps, so he's only going to get better, and we're glad to have him. He's a great dude too.
That is Buffalo Bills defensive end Greg Rousseau meeting with the media. The Bills are off today from practice at St. John Fisher University. Back tomorrow, bright and early again, 9:45 a.m. I guess I should say that, bright and early, right? 9:45 a.m. It gets a little hot, actually. It's a little mid-morning action for the Bills again, but then it's going to be the late afternoon action here, the return of the blue and red at Highmark Stadium on Friday evening. Hey, tune in this week for your chance to win two tickets to the Buffalo Bisons home game on Saturday, August 2nd at Salem Field. That's this Saturday, starting at 6:35 p.m. Celebrate women in sports, plus a post-game drone show. I am super into the drone shows. They're amazing. These drone shows that I see on these talent shows or anywhere else, they've done them at these sporting events. I have no idea how they get these things in sync like that and how someone's doing that. It's incredible. It's probably way easier than I realize, but maybe not, because it just seems way over my head. No pun intended, because it's drones. But yeah, you got to see this coming up. Celebrate Women in Sports, post-game drone show, and you can tune in this week for your chance to win two tickets to the Bisons game this Saturday at Salem Field at 6:35 p.m. before that. We'll take a timeout here. We'll come back. We'll prep one more segment, get you ready for Thad Brown coming your way from WROC-TV in Rochester after this timeout on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR. You know, if you go by number of practices, the Bills are already halfway through, more than halfway through St. John Fisher University. I mean, they do have training camp, technically still happens in Buffalo when they come back. It's still training camp. They have 11 total practices. I know 10 on a calendar a lot of you see. That's the fans that are allowed to go to practices, the open portions for fans. There's one practice that's not open to the public. They have, like, corporate sponsors and some other people who are there, but it's not open to the public that day. That's the 11th. That's August 4th, actually, next Monday. But so they have a total of 11 practices at St. John Fisher. They've already had six. So you have five more. You have one back here in Buffalo. And listen, I mean, it's this Friday back here in Buffalo. And by the way, I'll be hosting with Bulldog Friday, 3 to 5 p.m. And I'll be down at the stadium hosting with him. And then I'm going to head down to the field for the open practice. People call it a scrimmage. it doesn't have to be a scrimmage. It's not really. It's an open practice. They practice. They do a lot of things they normally do at practice at St. John Fisher, but they're doing it in front of fans here in Buffalo in Orchard Park. So anyway, the point I'm making is they are going to have that 3 to 5 p.m. or three, I'm sorry, 5 till 7 p.m. on Friday night. Then they're off Saturday. They go back to St. John Fisher next Sunday, this coming Sunday, but that's an 11:15 a.m. practice because it gives a little time extra for guys to get back Saturday night, going back from Buffalo or coming back up Sunday morning if they want to. So it gives them a little more time. It's kind of a thing they do every year to have that practice a little later. Then they got Sunday, they got Monday, and Tuesday next week? I'm sorry, Sunday, Monday, and then Wednesday, Thursday. That's what it is, Wednesday, Thursday. So still after tomorrow's practice, you got four more all next week. And then it's preseason. Preseason number one against the New York Giants. By the way, what is that? Have I been reading Malik Nabers has been hurt too? Like, he's got a toe injury, right? I think that's the case.
Yeah, it's the same toe injury he's had since his time at LSU. He actually called it similar to something like a mosquito that won't go away, which is an interesting way to describe an injury.
There is a press conference happening right now for the Sabres down at KeyBank Center announcing the naming rights deal to KeyBank to extend. In the meantime, Rachel Lindsay, I'm reading here, her of the Buffalo News, who covers the Sabres, she wrote this. Erie County Executive Mark Poloncarz on the future of KeyBank Center said, "I expect the Sabres to stay here a long time, and there will be some work that will be done, and we'll resolve that all through the negotiations, probably coming in earnest later this year, through, of course, next year." So if you're wondering about renovations to KeyBank Center, how they can continue to make this thing go forward and, you know, be better in a lot of different capacities and areas, Mark Poloncarz says, "But we got to get that football stadium done on time." Yes. Listen, I've said this before. These headlines you read about, oh, the football stadium's not going to be done. Folks, it's like a punch list. You know, if you ever bought a house and you say, you know what, you buy, unless you'll build it brand new, if you ever bought a house, you buy it, and yes, there's an inspection and everything's ready to move in, but when you get in, you're like, yeah, when I get in, I'm going to fix this. I'm going to kind of touch that up. Yeah, it's not totally exactly where it needs to be. That's what's going on with the Bills Stadium, the new Highmark Stadium, from what I understand. And I think there's a little bit too much of a freak out going on with some of the kind of clicky headlines about the stadium and the timeline and things like that. So it looks like the Sabres, KeyBank Center, they've had that announcement and is a 10-year agreement to keep the naming rights at KeyBank Center. Speaking of KeyBank Center, how about the University of Buffalo and Syracuse playing an exhibition basketball game coming up there in October, I believe it's going to be. So that should be interesting. We'll take a timeout here. Thad Brown of WROC-TV in Rochester joins me after this timeout on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
All right, we still await word on Maxwell Harrison, the Buffalo Bills' first-round cornerback out of Kentucky. Obviously suffered an apparent leg injury, maybe a knee injury yesterday at practice, non-contact injury. We know that from some of his teammates talking after practice. The fact that we have not heard anything can be taken a lot of different ways. Could be encouraging, could it be discouraging? I don't think we heard anything on Kader Kohou really until today officially, but I do think we kind of knew on Kader Kohou a couple days ago. We also knew on Emerson, the corner for the Browns, who's out with an Achilles injury. We heard right away it was, okay, that's what they think it is. We haven't heard anything. I remember back when Reggie Ragland got hurt at camp, Bills camp. This is a different regime, totally different. No Brandon Bean, no Sean McDermott. I think we waited. We had a couple days. We waited on that. They had to wait for some results. So who knows? But nothing's come out now. In the meantime, maybe this guy has heard anything, but we'll get his thoughts on all of it. Thad Brown, WROC-TV. In Rochester, he's been out at camp covering as well. And, of course, Bills Kickoff Live, which resumes again with another episode on your television Friday night at the return of the Blue and the Reddies on the Western Hotline. Good morning, buddy. How are you?
Good, Sal. How you doing, man?
I'm good. What do you think about no news right now for Max Harrison?
I think you started to go into the line about what it might mean and stop, and I kind of see the thoughts going in your head about well, it doesn't really mean necessarily good stuff. It doesn't necessarily mean bad stuff. I'm with you. I don't think there's really any conclusion to draw. I think the one thing that I do kind of feel is that if it was 100% no problem, in other words, like they took him back yesterday and looked at it and said, you know what, there's really nothing going on here. You're going to be fine. We would have heard that by now. It doesn't mean that he won't be fine. I just think that, to your point, there's probably a decent or a serious amount of testing going on to see what potentially would be wrong. And again, this is me trying to play, you know, visual and using prior experience doctor here, which is not, you know, any sort of legitimate medical diagnosis. But that's my gut, is that we're whatever happened was above the point of, oh, you know what, it worked itself out, swelling went down, you're fine, or whatever it was. There's probably some sort of actual, you know, even electronic testing going on to see what could be wrong. It might be nothing. It very easily could be, or minor. But I think there's something that those are doing right now.
What do you think about his Instagram post? I went through this the same way, which I said, well, he could be thanking God because he escaped serious injury, or he could be still saying, praising God and saying, you know, I'm in your hands because he has a serious injury. You could take these things a lot of different ways.
Yeah, I'm not going to try and read. I think we've learned from Stephon Diggs that trying to read from social media posts, it's probably a waste of our time. So the fact he's posting, I guess, is better than not, but I'm not going to really even want to dive into that one second.
No, I totally get that. All right. We've also seen, if people want to diagnose and want to make assumptions on, well, the cart didn't come out, he walked. That's right. I mean, but guys have walked off the field before with serious knee injuries. And let's remember what happened with Tyrell Shavers the other day. It looked really drastically serious. They brought the cart out, and he's going to be back this week, most likely.
Yeah, I think bringing the cart out, even you want to go to the Justin Fields thing, which was like the first big injury of this camp where he got carted off and then was running around the field the next day. I think you are more likely to have a situation where a cart comes out of an abundance of caution, and then a guy can be fine. Although, obviously, when the cart comes out, it can be a problem too. When they don't bring a cart out, I mean, these are – I know these are people, and I hate to ever say anything that goes away from that, but in the eyes of the team, to a degree, these are multimillion-dollar assets that need to be protected at all costs. And when your highly paid, very skilled, exceptionally experienced training staff doesn't feel the need to bring a cart out, even if where he got hurt actually is probably one of the closer spots on the facility to where you go to for a training point of view – when you don't bring the cart out for that, I have to feel like that whatever was happening was not of the most serious level, you know? And now, again, to your point, it doesn't mean that he won't be out a few weeks, or maybe there's something going on that he could move a little bit for. There's a lot of things that can happen. But in the spectrum of training camp injuries, I would think you are more likely to have a cart come out and be okay than have a cart not come out and have it be something season-ending serious.
Yeah, I totally get it. Thad Brown, WROC-TV in Rochester. Let's talk about the impact of Max Harrison on the field without him, with him and without him. How big of a blow would it be for the Buffalo Bills to lose Max Harrison for any significant time?
Through 6 days of camp? I mean, if we're talking about regular season time, I don't know if it's that much of a blow, because he has not really gotten himself into a spot where he is the regular or even most often first team corner. It's still been Trey White. And, you know, people have asked me on social media, well, how much of that is Trey White playing well? How much of it is Max Harrison not playing well enough? And I'd put it like almost right down the middle. You know, I think Trey White's been solid, maybe, and good at times. And there's nothing he's doing that makes me say, well, this guy does not belong on the field as a starter. I mean, I think he can still play. On the flip side, Harrison, you know, although he's not doing anything that demands the spot, for the most part, I've thought it doesn't look too big for him, you know, and he's managing and moving, progressing in a way that, although I don't think would excite anyone, is not bad or unnerving for a rookie either. And I think the thing we got to remember with Harrison, his particular game is built on speed, right? Mm-hmm. A guy who can function in a zone situation. Well, if speed's going to be your asset in zone, then what you're probably going to do a lot is sit back, be patient, and bang, drive on a ball. Well, to do that, you've got to learn a lot about when the right time to go is and when the right time not to go is. Because if you play that game, no matter how good you are, when you miss, it's 60 yards the other way. So I think that seeing Max Harrison play what looks like conservative, almost hesitant at this point, is 100% where a guy with that skill set should be. This is not a physical corner that's going to get in your face and just dominate right from day one. He's got to learn when to use his speed and when not to use his speed. And I think in week one of camp, which is still where we are, the way he's been is exactly how he should be. All that said, you know, that I can, you know, kind of justify the way he's playing all I want. He hasn't done anything that says to me he's a number one, without a doubt, corner right now. So if the Bills lose him, the way Trey White has played so far, I feel moderately okay. You know, the problem with Trey White is that he's 30 years old now, and you don't know if he can stay at that level all season. This has nothing to do with his injury history. This is just about, you know, corners that age tend to, you know, fall off a cliff faster. He might look good week one with all kinds of rest time, but what are we talking about week nine when he's played eight games in a row?
Yeah, and, you know, with the situation at corner and having some depth there, I think they've built, obviously they feel like they could probably at least, you know, get by for a little while here. If it becomes long-term, maybe they start to look elsewhere. That being said, how about the depth? Dorian Strong had a good couple of days and then maybe just tailed off a little bit here. And I say, I think he's a little bit, been a little bit more up-down. Dane Jackson, a veteran right there. How do you assess what they have behind Jamarcus Ingram's there? I'll get to Tre'Davious White in a minute, but I mean beyond the, those guys, the guys that really make up the back end of the depth at boundary corner.
I think the Bills are, if you want to talk about the fourth, fifth, and sixth corner, you know, on most teams, and these are, you know, guys that aren't even going to make a roster in some cases, I think the Bills are in pretty good shape there, just because of the experience to begin with. I mean, Dane Jackson and Jamarcus Ingram, right off the bat, know the defense, feel comfortable in it, know what their roles are. I think you saw it with the incredible Jamarcus Ingram interception from, what, Sunday or Monday, whatever it was. Easily, for me, the best play at camp so far. I think a lot of that stuff comes from the fact that you've done this 100 times. You've been through 3 or 4 camps in this defense. You know, when you can jump on things, when you can drop off receivers. And when you start with that base, you know, I think it makes it a heck of a lot easier for the Bills to get at least passable play if you have to go to a fourth and fifth corner. You know, and Dorian Strong, I'm as excited about him as a rookie as anybody. I don't think he's shown it yet through camp. But again, we are 1 week into the season, so I'm not concerned. Again, top to bottom, you know, the fourth, fifth, sixth corner guys are I think, really good, you know, if you want to compare them to what other teams are dealing with around the league. I mean, the Dolphins, after today, without Kohu, they might be starting their fifth and sixth corner. You know,
yeah,
so
that's right.
For the Bills to have guys at that level, you know, as backups, deep backups, I think they're in pretty good shape.
Yeah. So, by the way, Max Harrison, while we're talking, has actually posted again on Instagram. He wrote, "God has my back. I can't lose." Take with that whatever you want, folks. We're trying.
That sounds. My first reaction is that sounds serious. I mean, could be wrong.
Agreed.
But that sounds serious to me.
Agreed. God has my back. I can't lose. That's what he wrote on his official Instagram account. So we'll wait. We have nothing yet definitive on Max Harrison, but that sounds like something where he's putting his faith in God and maybe something serious is going on, but we'll wait and see on that. Again, it's tough and it's tricky in this day and age. It really is in 2025 that it matters because this is the way these guys communicate these days, but we have to always interpret them and be careful how we do, because as I said earlier in the show, guys could write things on social media, have nothing to do with football and something about their personal life.
Yeah. I mean, this goes back to what we call, you know, talking about Stephon Diggs. You know, how many times did we see a post from him and think it was about the Bills or Josh Allen or his relationship with the team, and it had something to do with anything else? And, you know, the other part of it, too, is, and I don't know, I don't want to paint the entire NFL with the same brush, but it does feel like that there are a number of players who thoroughly enjoy posting something that requires interpretation and waiting to see what everyone, but the media in particular, interpret from those posts. And just, it's just a fun thing to do. And now look, I was, you know, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25 once. I can certainly understand the entertainment value of that. But it certainly pushes me further to the side of, I'm going to read what the players post. I'm going to digest it. And then I'm going to try not to draw conclusions, because I'm probably gonna get myself into trouble more often than not.
We have a press conference going on down at KeyBank Center, and I'm just reading a couple of things. Jonah Bronstein says, Bill's COO, Pete Gwelly, says 2029 or 30 now are the target years to bid for hosting the NFL draft. I think so. That gets maybe pushed out a little bit. We had been told earlier maybe 27, 28, so 29 or 30, but it looks like the Bills want to do it. They're going to bid on it, but it's going to happen at some point, but it looks like maybe the target years might be moved down a little bit.
I don't, you know, I'm interested to see how that goes. We've done a draft in Cleveland. The one that was in Cleveland very recently, obviously they had one in Detroit too. You know, the draft is late April. You'd think the weather would be nice enough, even in Buffalo, to make that okay. I mean, it's the one that I did in Cleveland. And let me tell you, it rained and it was not warm and it wasn't super, I mean, it wasn't the worst ever, but it was not great weather at all. people still seem to have a good time. And it was a good environment, and there's a lot, obviously the NFL goes all out with experiences and different sort of attractions. So, you know, I would be excited to see what a draft in Buffalo would look like. I mean, to be honest, the Bills might want to think about taking the draft in like 2040, because with Josh Allen on the team, they're going to pick like 30th for the foreseeable future. And it'd be more fun to see a draft in Buffalo if Buffalo's picking in the top 10. So obviously, you know, you can't play that game, but either way, you know, it was a fun event in Cleveland, and I think Buffalo would embrace it like they do everything else.
Thad Brown of the Western Hotline. All right, let's talk about Tre'Davious White. I thought he was the best player at practice yesterday, to be honest, from what I saw. And I really like the way he's coming along, but we don't know, you know, where he's going to be for 18 weeks, 17 games. But, man, I like what I saw yesterday. I like what I've seen so far.
100%. I agree with yesterday. I mean, he had the nice pass breakup, dropping on what looked like a cover two situation from the flat defender deep to take away a ball Josh was trying to squeeze into Josh Palmer. He had a couple really good reps in one-on-one. I mean, he stuffed Keon Coleman into his pocket on a one-on-one at one point and just dominated the rep. I thought that the day before he had a rougher day where he had a rep in team with Josh Palmer, where Palmer ran right at him, maybe about 12, 15 yards, and then kind of broke to the inside. And watching from behind, I felt like Trey White had the route controlled the whole way, and then Palmer has a step all of a sudden, makes a catch with no problem. And that is the concern with a guy like Trey White is, does he have that one little step that he's lost to where, you know, not only does he not make the play, but my reading of his body language was that he thought he had it the whole way, and then all of a sudden he didn't. And that is the concern right now. But through 6 days, I've seen more good than bad from Trey White. I've seen more of the physicalness. You know, Trey White's always been the kind of guy that grabs to the point of begging for a penalty but knows how to do it the right way. I've seen him frustrate every single receiver on the Bills roster with that kind of style of play. I've seen him be active and certainly comfortable enough in the defense to know, like he did yesterday, when to move around, when to drop off a route. So the only concern with Trey White so far, first of all, I don't think we're going to get the all-pro level. I think that guy might not be coming back. But it's just what I've seen through 1 week, can I get it for another 22? That's the only question to me. If we get the Trey White that I've seen through 6 practices for the rest of the season, then Max Harrison might have a redshirt year because White will be good enough to be on the field.
I agree. Listen, Howard said this morning, he's on Howard Picks the Bills, I like the way he put it. He said, of course, you never want to lose your first-round corner, but as it looks right now, they didn't lose a starting corner, right? And that's what matters here.
100%. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the Max Harrison thing is always going to be a little more of a long-term. This, again, was, you know, what, pick 30, 29, whatever they had this year in the first round. This is, you know, even though you want your first rounders to start, we've seen, you know, from what the Bills have done over the year, that's hard. That's not a guarantee. Every single year, Brandon Bean and other GMs come out and tell us, well, we've got about 18 to 20 first round grades. And the Bills pick outside that realm all the time. So, you know, you've got to almost reduce your expectations for what the stereotypical first round pick would be. And in this situation, I've already kind of described how Max Harrison's game is going to make him a little bit more of a developmental guy. You're right. I mean, right this second, I don't want to, like, dismiss the impact Harrison could have, because his speed, we saw that day one in practice, the way he can close down things can be a game changer, but it's going to take a while for him to figure out. At the moment, this is not, you know, a season-destroying kind of loss, even if it would be frustrating in a lot of ways.
By the way, baseball news to pass along. The Yankees have acquired outfielder Austin Slater in a trade with the Chicago White Sox. This is according to Jeff Passan of ESPN. So there you go. Yankees, I don't know what that means for Aaron Judge, though. Right-handed hitting outfielder? Right? I don't know.
There's got to be a backup. I mean, how many elite sluggers? I was looking last night. I'm like, they've got Ryan McMahon hitting seventh? That guy is – I bet more money on that guy to hit homers when he was in Colorado over the last 2 years. And he's the seventh hitter for the Yankees right now. So, look, the Yankees are going to be the Yankees. You know, Toronto's been incredible this year. Detroit's still pretty good. Houston's going to be a pain in that because they're always Houston. You know, I think the problem I've always had with the Yankees is that when you rely on elite sluggers to be your playoff engine, it's hard to do because – I think that is the part of the game where guys can tense up easy and just not be able to perform at a level, because your level is already 3 out of 10 to begin with. To be able to do enough in the postseason to carry a team to a World Series, you know, you need more than one guy to kind of go unconscious hot, it feels like, to be able to get through that. And on the flip side, it just feels like the easiest part of baseball to underperform in is hitting. because of how few opportunities you get, how little success you have to begin with, and how much pressure you're on if you're a guy like Aaron Judge, when if you don't hit a three-run homer every other at-bat, you're a failure. So, you know, it's just it's never been the greatest playoff formula in my eyes.
No, and when I say it, what does that mean for Aaron Judge? Obviously, you know, has an elbow injury right now, so yeah, maybe they a little bit of, I guess, insurance for him. Spencer Jones is the guy they're going to make a decision on if they want to trade him. This left, they call him the left-handed Aaron Judge. I don't know if you've seen this guy, Thad.
No,
but he is he is a huge, like, tall dude who just hits monster home runs. He had a strikeout rate through the roof, though, and this year he's really cut it down. He's been mashing throughout the minor leagues, and now it's the decision. Do you trade him for something that you can get this year, or do you think that he's going to turn into something, right? And I think that's the decision facing Brian Cashman. Anyway, enough on baseball. Get back to football. Go ahead.
No, just a quick aside. Is it crazy how much bigger baseball players seem these days?
Oh, my God.
So I'm a Brewers fan, right? So Mizorowski, the pitcher that went to the All-Star game from Milwaukee, he's 6'7", and he took a picture with a few other All-Stars, and he was like the same size as like five guys. I don't remember what the picture was. But it feels like that there are more gigundous baseball players who pitch and hit now than there ever were when we grew up. Am I wrong about that?
No, I don't think so. I think the size of major league players, I think the size of hockey players has gotten a lot bigger too, you know? Everything, all these athletes. In fact, I'll say yesterday, last couple of days, Jozy Altidore was out at Bills practice. I don't know if you saw him or not, but Jozy Altidore was out there. He's one of the Bills' new minority owners. He's a former professional soccer player. And he's a professional athlete, right? You look at him, you're like, okay, he's not as tall as McGrady or Carter, but he's built. And I'm like, I'm talking to him, and I'm like, you look like you could still play. And he goes, yeah, look at these guys, though. And I go, you're right, Jozy. You'd be a safety, right? I mean, it's okay. There's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
But, like, holy cow. And he's marveling to me, Josh, about look at these guys. And he's standing next to the O-line and D-line. He's like, how do people get that big, Sal? It's unbelievable, right? And you're right. And that's what we see now. Okay, speaking of that, one question I wanted to get to as a good transition here. One of the guys who is a big athletic guy for the Bills is Spencer Brown. At what point – and where are you right now? Maybe you're at that point. How concerned are you right now that Spencer Brown has not been on the field yet for the Bills?
Yeah, there's the concern level is rising. You know, someone asked me the other day, other than this was like right when Harrison got hurt, other than Harrison, what would be the guy that's most concerned of the laundry list of players who've been in and out of practice? And Spencer Brown for sure. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, a back injury for a man that size, that feels like something that can become chronic and a problem over and over. The other thing for me, too, is that I've been over on the side field where the rehabbing guys usually work, and I've seen Dawson Knox there a bunch of times. Elijah Moore was doing work yesterday. Laviska Shenault was there multiple times. I haven't seen Spencer Brown do much work over there. And the couple times I have seen him do work, it's been limited and it's been short. So whatever the issue is with the back, this isn't like Dawson Knox where he's constantly moving around, and obviously Dawson Knox is off the NFI list, so he should be back any time. It feels like the road is longer with Spencer Brown. And then separate of which player who has an injury might keep that player out an extended amount of time, the other thing is if there's a position group that I'd be most worried about injuries, it is the offensive line, in large part because we haven't seen them get hurt in a long time. These guys have stayed ridiculously healthy the last 2 years. What does this team look like if you have to start to break that group down and chip at that health a little bit? I do have a lot of optimism for the depth because it's a lot of young up-and-coming guys, Ryan Vandermark, Alec Anderson, Tylan Grable. You know, these are guys who are, you would feel like their best football is ahead of them. And with all the Bills blowouts the last couple of years, they've actually gotten a nice chunk of snaps on the field as well. So there's encouragement there about what would happen. But the receiver group, as you know, as we've been talking about and has been discussed often, is not super. So this team, other than the MVP quarterback, is really built upon the offensive line. And if you take a big piece away from that, and Spencer Brown is that, I mean, he's developed into one of the top 3, 4, 5 right tackles in the NFL, what does the offense look like? It'll still be good, but is it 30 points in a row for 8 weeks in a row good? I don't know. And that's why the Spencer Brown injury on a number of different levels is the big question for me.
Rookies on the defensive line, I would say Deion Walker is as massive as advertised.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, day one with the pads on, because I don't think you take much from the offensive and defensive line until the pads come on, I was not very impressed. He was single blocked a lot. He wasn't being moved, but he was being stalemated. And that's not good enough for what you want out of that guy. Now, he's a fourth-round pick, and people need to remember that. You know, fourth-round picks are, you know, fourth-round picks for a reason. That being said, day two, first run play in team drill, it was Deion Walker and a TFL. In the move the ball drill where the first team offense did not move the ball at all, It was Deion Walker and TJ Sanders at D tackle when James Cook ran for zero. So I was, you know, I thought I saw some progress from big number 96 in day two. Look, at this level, being big is not going to be enough. Everybody's big. I know Deion Walker's bigger than most, but, you know, you have cleared a bar if you've made it to the NFL and start on the offensive or defensive line. So there's going to have to be more to his game. And as like I said, as a fourth round pick, I think it might take a little while to get there.
Thad Brown on the West Her Hotline. All right, Bills kickoff live continues. You guys had a show to start training camp, but we're going to be back at it again. I'm going to be joining you this time Friday at the return of the blue and the red, and it's going to be another fantastic season. Tell everybody about it.
Yep, 7 o'clock. We'll be on Channel 4 in Buffalo, Channel 8 in Rochester. Half hour, you, me, Josh Reed, Matt Perino, Tim Graham, the whole crew, you know, just running through our normal schedule as we get ready to go for the season. And again, we'll do pregame and postgame before the first and the third preseason games. The one in the middle, I think, is the national game. So that'll be a little different schedule. But, you know, as always, we've got a lot of things to talk about. We're going to have a little more fan involvement this year when we get to the regular season. That'll be fun. So just excited to get it going again, man. It's you know, it's always fun to reunite with the Bills media family after we all have our summers off.
No doubt about that. You can follow Thad on Twitter /X at ThadBrown7 and, of course, on WROC-TV out in Rochester. Thanks a lot, buddy. Enjoy the rest of the day, and I'll see you tomorrow morning.
You too, man. Talk to you soon.
All right, you got it. That is Thad Brown. I didn't ask you while he was on the air, did he sound like Adam Schefter? I think he sounds like Adam Schefter. Yeah, you see, you're nodding. You're nodding, Josh. I was right. I'm sorry. I'll give you a chance. You were having a snack for lunch, I guess, as I threw that to you. So when you get a chance, you could tell me how much he sounded. I think he sounds like Adam Schefter. I went back and listened one day. I'm like, oh my God, like, did I have Adam Schefter on the air? No, I had Thad Brown on the air. But anyway, Thad Brown, you can catch him. Bills kickoff live coming your way. I'll be a part of that. Channel 4 here in Buffalo, News 8 in Rochester, WROC-TV, WIVB-TV here in Buffalo. You want to talk or no? You can't.
Oh yeah, I didn't. I didn't want to do that with your mouth full.
Did he sound like Adam Schefter?
Yeah, it was funny when he answered the phone. He goes, "This is Thad," and I'm like, "This is not Thad. This is Adam. that's not Thad."
See?
No, it's crazy. We need to find a way to get the two of them to do an interview together, and then we'll really see, you know, who sounds more like Adam Schefter.
So, speaking of national media, did you see CBS actually put out their announcing teams for the year?
I did.
And I want to go through this because I don't think there's really any changes, but let's go through those. We'll do that when we come back. I want to talk about the Bills and what's happening with their schedule into preseason, regular season as well, and anything that's on your mind here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. You can always call me at 803-0550, and that means getting connected with you, our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. It is the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Do we have an intern in there with you today?
No, this is Dan sitting in with me.
Hi, Dan.
Learning the shift.
How are you?
I'm doing great.
All right. You can hear Dan a little bit there. Dan, someone wrote bad words and drew some bad logos on your cap. I just want you to know that. He's wearing a Blue Jays cap.
Come on, Sal. Settle down here.
I got to give him a little garbage because they're beating my Yanks by 4 games in the AL East.
I was about to say, how many games back are the Yankees now?
I know.
I'm a Blue Jays fan, too. You can't just – you got.
I don't mind the Blue Jays, but right what now. They did to my Yankees should be illegal in most states. And that's it. They're in Canada, so I guess it's not. I mean, they really they took it to the Yankees. Now they're in front big time and 4 games. And now, though, Blue Jays are – really slumping right now. The Orioles have been kicking their butts.
I was just going to say the Orioles are kind of giving it back to the Blue Jays with whatever they gave the Yankees. I mean, I saw a stat today that the Orioles have scored just an obscene amount of runs in the past week. I think it's somewhere over like 57 runs in the past 5 games. So, and the Blue Jays are kind of to thank for that. But they had a great moment last night. First of all, a pitcher got traded in the middle of a doubleheader from the Blue Jays or from the Orioles to the Blue Jays.
Wait a minute, seriously? That actually happened last night?
And then he played. Maybe it wasn't last night or 2 days ago.
Okay, yeah.
Recently, within the last 2 days
when they played the doubleheader, I remember that. Yes, might have been yesterday. Actually.
I think it was yesterday. But he played the second game and pitched in the second game, got 2 strikeouts, like back to back. Also yesterday, they had a positional player pitch and get one of the slowest strikeouts in baseball history. A 35-mile-an-hour pitch to strike out an Orioles.
Was it like an Ephus pitch? Like when you throw it really high?
No, it was a positional player. Like he was just wow. in because they were getting beat so bad. They put him in and he threw
in batting practice.
Yep, pretty much. And he threw a 35 mile an hour pitch and struck a guy out.
That's embarrassing to whoever. I mean, I guess though, I will say this: if you're a major league player, you're like, oh, I'm going to crush this ball, and you just swing too hard, right?
That's exactly what happened. The ball was high outside for a righty, and he kind of like stepped over and went to swing at it and was right under it.
He wanted it. There's no doubt. CBS has unveiled its game announcers for 2025 for the NFL. The number one team, as usual, Jim Nance, Tony Romo, and Tracy Wolfson. Number two, Ian Eagle with J.J. Watt. That's a little different, isn't it? I don't think J.J. was a main color analyst last year. He's been on the desk, hasn't he? I think he's been in studio.
I think it's mostly been in studio, if not all in studio. But that's going to be a fun combination, I think. I'm excited to see what he can do.
And Evan Washburn will be on the sidelines. Evan was at Bills camp the other day. Was Ian with Trent Green? Because now Kevin Harlan is with Trent Green. And maybe they already were together. I can't remember. And Melanie Collins. So that's the number three team, I would guess. The number four team, I think, as it looks. Our buddy Andrew Catalan. With Charles Davis, Jason McCourty, and A.J. Ross. So two color analysts.
Here, I've got last year's pulled up.
Okay.
Kind of comparing.
Who was Ian Eagle with last year?
Ian Eagle was with Charles Davis and Evan Washburn. Last year, Kevin Harlan with Trent Green and Melanie Collins.
Okay, so they've switched Charles Davis with J.J. Watt.
Yeah. Interesting.
And Jason McCourty joins Charles Davis and Andrew Catalan. So Davis goes with Catalan.
Also, no more Tiki Barber.
Okay, no more Tiki Barber. Because you have also Spiro Deeds with Adam Archuleta and Aditi Kinkawabla. And then you're going to have Ross Tucker and Tom McCarthy. Tom McCarthy, play-by-play. Ross Tucker, who will rotate throughout the season when others are unavailable or have time off or whatever. And there it is. Rules analyst Gene Steratore is back.
Great. Super cool.
Play-by-play for select games. Beth Mowens has been doing it a long time. And Chris Lewis. Analyst for select games, Logan Ryan. And sideline reporter for select games, Amanda Balionis and Tiffany Blackman. So there you go. There's your announcing team for the 2025 NFL on CBS. The Bills are going to be on CBS quite a bit, but not to start the season. Their first game is going to be against the Baltimore Ravens on Sunday Night Football. The Ravens... They are dealing with an injury of their own to Isaiah Likely, who we believe, as it stands, it looks like, well, he has a foot fracture, and they're saying he's going to be possibly available for week one. That tells me very, very questionable at this point, although injury designations don't come out for a while. Now, the second week of the year, the Bills will be on CBS. They'll be at the New York Jets on September 14th, and then they come back home for a Thursday night primetime game against the Dolphins on September 18th. So Bills start off Ravens, Jets, Dolphins before coming back, and then it's the Saints at home September 28th. And you'll have one of those games on CBS, the first three. You'll have they'll run it with NBC Sunday night, Jets CBS, Dolphins Thursday night prime. And then back to CBS, I think. Maybe it's Fox that fourth game. Got to take a look at that. Keon Coleman spoke with the media. We have that for you here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Let's get to the Buffalo Bills' second-year wide receiver.
You guys are connected on quite a few balls this training camp. How are you building chemistry with him right now in year two?
A lot of the film room, understanding what he's seeing and giving my feedback and then going out there on the field and executing.
You talked about stacking Keon that you've put together over the past few years. Really, how much easier is it when you kind of have that momentum from a good day prior than it is when, you know, maybe you don't have it the day before and you're trying to get back into where you need to be on that next day?
It don't make a difference. I mean, it's a new day every day, and you don't look back once the day is over. You get that over with and film and go on to the next day.
You said you and Josh spent a lot of time in the film room together.
What are some of the conversations like that you guys have together, make sure you're on the same page and growing as a group? Really just like, all right, so we watch this, he'd be like, all right, so I'm thinking this, what was you thinking there, and then I'll say that, and then we'll, you know, conversate, get to the same point of what we're trying to say, and then we'll go out there and execute it.
Darren was talking yesterday about how it's like in tight practice, I am sharp and tight.
For you, how does that happen, especially going up against a veteran?
Same thing as getting reps without the pads. It don't make a difference for us. So it's still getting out, working, getting out of spots, getting open, making catches.
Kevin, the first thing you came to this camp, between that, what's changed, what's different, the body, the speed, or anything over the offseason you've developed on, and you feel that, you have a sense of feeling?
What you think? What you see?
Tom, you just talked about you having a great camp so far. I'll jump in with faster, and just want to hear what you think you've been working on.
Just grinding, pretty much everything, and then coming out here and putting it on the field and putting it on tape.
Yeah, what's been your thoughts on Josh Palmer? Just getting to know him now, now we just see him continually ramp up, guys get the pads on, just kind of stood out to you.
He's a good player, very detailed, works hard. You know, he's a little quiet, but, you know, he gets his work done. Simple as that.
Yeah, similar question. Your thoughts on how Elijah Moore has progressed and what's he like as a guy?
Yeah, man, he funny. He remind me a lot of Coop in that aspect, you know, them Florida boys. But another great, great player, great route runner, has a good feel for the game and things like that, made good catches. And, you know, just a great guy to be around. And that's two great guys we added to the receiver room.
What's Joe Brady been like in year two as the offensive
coordinator? Oh, it's been fun. You know, door stays open. It's same as last year, so you can go to talk to him about anything, what you seeing, what you like. So just having that open communication with him is great.
He says he likes to keep an open communication between the players, wants your insight into the playbook, and as you guys are kind of building things right now, how does that help you as a player to know that your offensive coordinator does want your opinion?
And it helps a lot. You can voice your opinion to the guy that's actually calling the play. So what you're seeing when you're on the field, what he sees when he's on top, seeing the coverage down here, and then just telling him what you want, you know.
Yeah, you see a guy like Steve now getting...
What'd you say?
Steve.
Yeah.
Getting some reps with the one, Josh, because of injuries in the wide receiver room, but your reaction kind of that big touchdown pass that he had, and just watching a guy like him make the most of his opportunities and kind of showcasing it on a big play.
So what you asking? Like how is he as a player and stuff like that?
You know, seeing a guy like that work his way up and getting an opportunity to work with the one, work with Josh.
Yeah, I mean, man, it's what we preach, man. You got to make your opportunities count. Don't count the opportunity, and that's exactly what he's been doing. You know, he's a great player, had a good career at VT, so he comes out here every day, works hard, gets his body right in the training room, and he, you know, to play his show. Man, he funny. But, man, he another great player, bro. You know, good feel for the game. And, you know, he plays tough, and he's going to get open and make some catches.
Keon, at this point last year as a rookie, obviously a lot of it is learning the playbook for the first time. And now a year later, how do you feel like that, having that year of knowledge of plays in the offensive scheme, you know, that's a certain
thing,
really on the field or just
a pro? I mean, a little bit of both. And the game slows down when you know everything that's coming. So it's allowed you to just read the defense and understand what you got to get.
As you're in training camp, what are your goals for yourself as you guys really lock in ahead of the season?
Get to the season healthy and just continue to make plays, stack days.
We talked to Khalil Shakir recently, and he said that he's been trying to take on more of a vocal leadership role. How have you seen
I mean, he's getting out of his comfort zone. You know, he's not the most vocal guy, but that's something he's really getting after, talking to the young guys, talking to everybody else, making sure we understand whatever it is, how we do things here, and stuff like that.
What's the part of training camp that you enjoy most?
Actually, getting out there, going against the defense.
When you're out there against the defense, what do you notice about yourself, just the way that practice now compared to maybe last year as a rookie?
Making more plays.
Playing team are the focus of the training camp, but are you guys aware of what happened in New York City yesterday around the league office? Have you talked about it?
Nah. What happened?
There was a shooting, and there was an NFL staffer that was injured. There's more details I don't know about it, but...
I ain't hear about it. Condolences to them, though.
That's Bills' second-year wide receiver, Keon Coleman. I think he's been stacking some good days. His first couple days a little uneven. I think the last few days have been much better for Keon. The timing seems to be getting there. I think the understanding and nuances of things are starting to come together, and that's good to see. Still nothing on Max Harrison, the Bills' first-round corner who suffered an injury yesterday. If there is anything, we will be sure to pass it along to you. But a timeout here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show before we wrap things up. What else we got going on? Oh, yeah. Josh said, don't forget, tell everybody, Sal, they can listen all this week for your chance to win a pair of grandstand tickets to the NASCAR Cup Series weekend from Friday, August 8th to Sunday, August 10th at Watkins Glen International. The Go Bowling at the Glen brings the drivers of NASCAR Cup Series to battle it out around the historic New York road course. Tickets are on sale for the entire NASCAR weekend at theglen.com. One N. Theglen.com. I have to say, I've never been to Watkins Glen. For the races. I think I was there a few times when I was younger. I've never been there for the races, though. I've heard it's amazing, fantastic, actually.
I've never been there for a race, but I did do, well, I was in the vehicle, but my parents and I did the Thunder Road where you can drive on the track. We got to do like two laps or something like that. Obviously, you're not going all that fast. You're going like 55, I think. But you sign up and everyone shows up with their cars and you can just drive your normal car out on the track and do like a big loop around the track. It's really cool.
Yeah, and that's awesome.
It was an awesome experience. I did that back when I was, like I say I did that, but I was like 14, so I wasn't driving. But it was pretty cool. Watkins Glen's a cool place.
Yeah, it is, and that's really cool. So listen all week, you have your chance to win those tickets, and that's very cool there. And of course, maybe you're heading out to Rochester. Tomorrow they're back at it, man. Tomorrow they're back at it.
And do you think you've made your first appearance unknowingly on Hard Knocks yet? Like, has
a good question.
Camera panned your way and caught
now,
you?
Now, are we talking just like in the background or like that they actually focused for one split second at a press conference on me or something like that?
Yeah,
what are we talking?
Well, kind of just the background, but like, you know.
That maybe, you could recognize. Like, right. You're saying,
you
like,
see,
you say,
hey, there's
Sal.
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh, like you're standing on the sideline and, you know, there's a play going on, and in the background, there you are, like, watching or something like that. You know what I mean? Like,
I bet you, here's the way I say it. I bet you I'm going to watch Tuesday, and I'm going to say, and my wife's going to say, oh, there you are. And I'm like, oh, yeah, you're right. We have to freeze frame it. I'm in the background. This happens all the time during games with me on the sidelines. My friends will be like, oh, I was watching the game. I saw you in the background. But you go back and look, it's just this little shop. And because I'm bald and have a goatee and have a distinct look, people are like, oh, there's Sal, right?
Isn't there an iconic picture of you with your arms up, like, in the end zone? I thought there was
I thought there was a
picture of you, like, or, like, you're, like, right.
That would not be cool.
No, like, I thought that was, like, right on the sideline.
No, there is somebody doing that. It's not me. I picture me
you.
Looking at Sammy Watkins' feet.
That's what it is. Your arms aren't up. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
My bad.
Yeah.
There was someone next to you.
That is the guy doing it next
yes,
to me. Yes.
Yes.
I am looking at Sammy Watkins' feet. The guy next to me is like, ah,
yes,
like that, putting his arms up.
That's what it is. Sorry.
In the end
zone. I didn't mean to mischaracterize you.
That's okay. That's okay. And that happens sometimes, but those pictures are out there for sure. So we'll see. Hard Knocks on Tuesday. That's the premiere. We'll talk more about it here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Points Show going forward. And I think Derek and Zach back in tomorrow to do it. I'll be joining them. And then, of course, next week, it is Hard Knocks on Tuesday. I'm sure Jeremy and Joe will be talking about that as well. Sabres Live up next. They're going to have more on the Sabres announcement with KeyBank Center, a 10-year extension of naming rights. One Bills Live after that here on WGR.